This is the Quality News Network. Taliban leaders claim they have killed a South Korean hostage, one of 23 Christian aid workers abducted by Islamic militants, because the Afghan government let a deadline pass without releasing Taliban prisoners from its jails. The report remains unconfirmed until a body is provided. Afghan officials say intelligence reports indicate that two hostages may have been killed. 10 Afghans working for a U.S. security company were killed in an ambush today in southern Afghanistan. The attack occurred on the same highway on which those South Koreans were kidnapped more than a week ago. In his first official meeting with President Bush as Britain's prime minister, Gordon Brown reaffirmed today his country's continuing military presence in Iraq. Meantime, the commander of U.S. forces in Iraq says a large contingent of troops will be needed in the country until mid-2009. If that timeline is kept, that means the Iraq War would pass to President Bush's successor. Today, the Pentagon announced three U.S. soldiers have been killed during combat operations in the Anbar province. A car bomb in a Baghdad market killed six people today and wounded 12. 52 other Iraqis died in sectarian attacks today throughout the country. As many as seven people were killed and 50 wounded by stray bullets when thousands of Iraqis took to the streets to celebrate the country's soccer victory in the Asian Cup tournament. Iraqi Parliament adjourned for the month of August today. A report released by the U.S. Inspector General monitoring Iraqi reconstruction, highly critical of the government's management of funding and projects. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice and Defense Chief Robert Gates head to the Middle East today to hold a series of talks with allies meant to help improve security. The two also bring governments there billions of dollars in military aid deals. In the Gaza Strip, Palestinians who fled during battles between Hamas and Fatah weeks ago began returning to their homes today. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas asked for Russia's support in his feud with rival faction Hamas for control over the Palestinian territories. Former San Francisco 49er head coach Bill Walsh died of leukemia today at the age of 75. Late-night talk show host Tom Snyder also passed away in San Francisco yesterday. Snyder was 71. A look at science and business news just ahead.
What are you doing?
Fertilizing the lawn. Do you want to help?
No, not really. But didn't you just do that last week?
Yeah, I did. I want the lawn to be really lush and green this year.
Dad, what happens when those sprinklers come on?
We give the grass a good long drink.
That water runs off with the fertilizer in it and gets into the bay, where it can harm the fish.
So what should I do?
Use just the minimum recommended amount. The lawn will be just as green, and you'll be saving our ocean.
Taking care of the marine sanctuary is your duty. From Mayos at Monterey High.
Hello, I'm CHP Officer Felix Isararas. Law enforcement officers throughout the state are committed to removing drunk drivers from California roadways before they kill or injure themselves, or worse, an innocent victim. Right now, local law enforcement and the CHP are conducting DUI checkpoints to find drunk drivers and keep California roads safe.
Always designate a sober driver. And if you see a drunk driver on the road, call 911. A message from the Office of Traffic Safety and California Highway Patrol.
Diabetes drug Avandia should be pulled from the market, according to federal health officials. The drug has been linked to an increased risk of heart attack. Researchers have identified two genes they think may increase the risk of contracting multiple sclerosis. It is the first major gene discovery in the field in two decades. A controversial new study released yesterday in London says global warming is contributing to an increase in the number and ferocity of Atlantic hurricanes. Number of hurricanes per season has doubled over the last 100 years. Sara Lee recalling 27 whole wheat flour products because they may contain small bits of metal. Most of the products distributed across the southern states under 13 different brand names. Defense contractor Lockheed Martin announced a 34% surge in quarterly profit, fueled by revenues earned as a result of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Northwest Airlines canceled more than 500 flights over the weekend in a dispute with pilots who say they're being asked to fly too many hours a month. Federal restrictions mandate 1,000 flying hours annually. Light sweet crude oil trading at $76.83. That's down 19 cents. At the close of Wall Street today, the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 92 points at 13,358. NASDAQ up 21 points. S&P 500 up 15. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
Get around the radio, kids. It's time for Strictly Confidential. It's the homosexual agenda on steroids, putting the Dominionists and the loyal Bushies and the rest of America's underbelly on notice that the GLBT community is simply not going to take it anymore. So, just like gay kryptonite, here's Peter Godbold.
Good evening, America, and good morning, world. Welcome to Book, Chapter, and Verse 24 of Strictly Confidential. I'm your host, Peter Godbold, and welcome to the GLBT version of Conversation Radio. I am so pleased to be with you guys tonight. I've got so many things to share with you and such wonderful guests. I will start by telling you about my weekend. I went to MCC in Tallahassee this Sunday. There's an evening service there at 7 p.m., and I have to tell you, that is the most wonderful place. It really is. I can just see myself dropping the whole Strictly Confidential thing and doing the Peter Godbold GLBT Gospel Hour. I know the studio is going to be freaking out at that one. Oh, my God. He went all Holy Roller. Oh, my God. What are we going to do? Oh, gosh. Gay host out of control. Anyway, MCC has just been a wonderful wonderful touch to my life. I've been attending a Methodist church for many, many years, and the difference between the two, because I'm attending both right now, I'm in a transition state. So I go to a Methodist church in the morning, and I go to this Metropolitan Community Church, which is a Christian church with an outreach to the gay community, in the evening. And the difference is just staggering. I decided that this is a good time to talk about the contrast, because this can't last forever, going to both services. And you know, I went to Mixsuckee Methodist on Sunday morning, and I'm there every Sunday. I run the sound, so I have certain responsibilities that I do. And the sermon was all about sin and all about atoning for sin legalities, and it was complicated, and it went on and on and on. And, you know, God bless them. It just doesn't do it for me. In any case, I went to MCC in the evening, and it was just magical. It was a fifth Sunday at MCC, and they had the fifth Sunday sing, and so the entire service was done in song. There was special music. A couple did "I'll Fly Away." There was congregational singing. There was everything from "Sweet Low, Sweet Chariot" to communion. And I tell you, I had a wonderful time. And it was potluck, too. Oh, my God. Not only can those folks have church, they know all about having church, they know all about cooking. There was a particular casserole there that I've got to tell you. Next time they do a potluck, I'm going to be sitting over to the side and see who brings that casserole, because they're going to walk up right away and try to marry them. That was some kind of good food that was there. And, you know, the crowd's amazing, too. There's little old gray-headed ladies and folks' grandmothers and folks' mothers. There's families with little children. There was a little boy there playing with his trucks, and there were older kids too. You know, looked like years, and the entire gamut. There are lesbian couples and gay couples and singles, and just such a wonderful affirming environment. And there was one thing that happened that was so funny to me. I know you guys will enjoy this story. The leader of the service goes, "How many of you here are from a Pentecostal background?" And some hands went up. And she said at that point, "Well, you know, when we're singing, you guys are going to have to jump up and sing a particular verse. It's a praise verse." And then she said, "How many people are here from a Baptist background?" And some hands went up. And she said, "Well, all you can do is raise your hand when we sing that verse, because we know you Baptists." Oh, it was just priceless. MCC has people from so many different backgrounds. And, in fact, that's our guest for this evening. Our guest will be joining us at 9:30. The guests will be Linda and Susie. That's Susie Brenner and Linda Beckstead. They are amazing to me, in as much as they have a Christian lesbian traveling ministry. And, as you know, one of the things we do on this show is to attempt to, and we do it quite well, attempt probably isn't the right word, we do it very well, thank you very much. We bust stereotypes left and right every week on this show, or every day. And I cannot imagine a more stereotype-busting couple that a lesbian gospel minister. I don't, you know, you fund these, you might as well run to Jesus, honey, because, you know, I think this might even be a Bible verse. When you see the lesbians with a gospel ministry, thou shalt run to Jesus, honey, because the times, they are a-changing. I'd like you to stop by the Strictly Confidential Radio chat room. Actually, I'm taking it over, aren't I? It's really the Head On Radio Network chat room. I am a member of the Head On Radio Network. We have a number of fine programs that run throughout the day. We have, we just heard over the lineup, we have, so that I won't miss anybody, we have the Cup of Joe radio show, and he's our lower employee guy. He broadcasts from Chicago. We have Foxed Up. That's John Fox. He broadcasts from Australia. He's our environmental guy. We have a segment called America Back on Track, which I listen to, and I don't exactly know where they originate from. We also have the Dr. Bill O'Brien show. He's amazing. We have Mark Levine, who does our Washington, D.C. coverage. He broadcasts from Washington, D.C. Then, of course, there's Bob Kincaid with the Head On program, which runs from 6 p.m. till 9 p.m., the programs prior to this. And then after that, there's Strictly Confidential, which runs from 9 to 11 p.m., and I broadcast from North Florida. Number of shows are all progressive, and they're all liberal. They're all. You're welcome to phone any one of them. I know we have some new listeners to the to this particular program, and we are glad to have you along. In any case, it's strictlyconfidentialradio.com. That's strictlyconfidentialradio.com. There you'll find links to the guests. You'll find links to their websites. You'll find links to the chat room. You'll find links to the and I left out Guy James. He's our host from South Florida. He broadcasts from the Fort Myers area. You'll find links to the room. You'll find links to the main site, links to the music used in the show. The strictlyconfidentialradio.com will take you just about anywhere you want to go on the network. And it's a single-page site, so it's very easy to navigate. You don't have to go through a whole bunch of pages you'll have so that's where you go to attach to the stream, or you could actually go to the Head On Radio Network site too, if that's what you're accustomed to, but it's just an alternative page for you to go to. The telephone number for reaching the program is toll free, and it is 877 the number 4 Head On. That's 877 the number 4 Head On. That translates to being 877-443-2366. If you have an unlimited long-distance calling plan, you can use that and save the studio call, and that number is 304-658-3333. That's 304-658-3333, and that rings in West Virginia. Also, email send it to Peter at headonradionetwork.com. That's Peter at headonradionetwork.com. I try to check the email during the breaks. Let's see. Oh, yeah, about the MCC. They also have something that they call a praise team. They might as well call it Angels from Heaven. Those people can sing. I have got to tell you, they did a song Sunday evening, and it was flawless. Every note was perfection. The equalization of the sound system was flawless. The blending was stunning. The harmony was stunning. It was the women were in the front row, and the men were in the row behind them, and they were slightly elevated so that their heads are slightly above the women for, you know, projection of voices. It was all mic'd. And, I got to tell you, those people knew how to have church. Just amazing. And, and Susie Brenner and Linda Beck said we'll be set at 9:30. And let's see what I have here to begin with. Oh, I want to begin with this. This has been covered a lot, but I want to cover it here also. I'll be honest with you, it's been kind of a nutty day, so I haven't listened to either the mainstream media, which is pretty much worthless, and I haven't really had a chance to listen to this network either, which will actually get you the truth. I'm sure this has been covered, but you no doubt know it. But something that I want to run regarding Tom Snyder, as you all know, he passed away. It was associated with leukemia, and he was a late network TV talk shows. Lots to tell about him, and most of it's already been told, so I won't repeat all of that. Snyder, among other people, had John Lennon's final televised interview. That was in April of 75. U2's first television appearance, that was in 81. He also had, amazingly enough, Charles Manson. Now, Charles Manson, that was an incredible interview. Manson went from sort of a calm, cool, almost normal seeming guy to this wild insanity spouting screaming mass murder, and then he would move back into this normal, calm, cool kind of guy thing. Amazing interview. He did the Plasmatics on, and their singer, Wendy Williams, blew a television up in the studio. But the thing about, you know, the news articles are saying, you know, he was abrasive yet robust and all of these adjectives, blah, 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 blah. But one of the things that are, one of the points that is constant throughout all of the articles associated with his death is that he was personal. And, you know, that's really all we have. You know, in the final analysis, that's what makes the difference, isn't it? Our relationships with others and our ability to communicate. And Tom Snyder had a way of bringing out in people who are his guests things that they might normally say in another interview setting. And it was because of his personal style he connected with people. And here's an example. I wanted to run this, and Bob located this sound clip, by the way, earlier today when he was doing some research on this story and sent it along. Thank you, Bob. This is a sound clip when he is interviewing Elton John. And Elton John really just comes right out and gets very real. And I'd never heard Elton John just come out and say things like he says in this. And it's just got to do with the fact that Tom Snyder was a very personal fellow who actually connected with people. So if you'd run that clip, please, with Elton John.
I think you've talked on the radio before about sexuality. And I'm trying to make this sensitive and sensible. Do you ever wonder if you're putting off people who might be your audience?
Absolutely. Down, you know? Yes, I think so. but one has a responsibility to oneself. And it does offend people. And a lot of people don't understand, and I understand that. But it also helps a lot of people that are in situations that may be gay or bisexual, who are in little towns and places like that. If someone comes out, I can't stand people in show business that are out and out screaming queens that keep saying, "Oh, I hate faggots," you know? really?
There you have it. That was Elton John as he appeared on Tom Snyder's television show. And Tom Snyder was a wonderful guy. In fact, I've heard it said earlier today that Tom Snyder in some ways is a model for this network, to be connected with people, to have actual conversations with people as opposed to rushing them through to fit in between commercial breaks. And so he is a good guy. I wanted to tell you this story. There's so many things to get to tonight, and if you're just joining us, Linda and Susie will be joining us at 9:30. Bob was talking about Tancredo in his program earlier today, just a few hours ago, and I wanted to tell you about Tyler Whitney. Now, Tyler Whitney, he's the 18-year-old conservative activist who was defended by Babe Buchanan, and he's been outed. Now, the thing is that the Tyler Whitney is a full-blown supporter and webmaster and staff member with the Tancredo presidential candidacy. And, of course, Tancredo is anti-gay and the whole bit. And this guy, Tyler Whitney, this 18-year-old, was all anti-gay on his MySpace page. And he was a member of the chapter of the Young Americans for Freedom, which has been cited as a hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center. He's been seen at protests holding up signs warning gays to go back into the closet. His legacy is huge, but he was outed. And so now he has gone to work for, he's left Tancredo, he has gone to work for a, quote, independent candidate. And this independent candidate, let's see if I have the reference on that, is, let's see, where is this? He's moved back home to Michigan, and he's gone to work for a guy named Wighill. And this Wighill guy is running as an independent, but if he's hooked up with this Tyler Whitney guy, he can't be too independent. Sounds more like a Republican to me. It's he's saying that Wighill, he's more conservative than pretty much anyone else. This is what Tyler Whitney is saying, and I agree with him on the issues. He seems like a very nice guy. Mainly I agree with him on economic issues. I'm sort of a libertarian, and he's very financially responsible. You know, we've had some psychologists in the various shows in this network that have clearly explained to us how this whole idea of conservatism which is really not what it is at all. It's pure selfish control, trying the attempt to control others. It's nothing but a mental illness, to be quite frank with you. There's a whole area of research that shows people that grow up to be conservative, Republicans, when they're children, these folks have talked to us and demonstrated that when they're children, they've monitored a group from when they were like in kindergarten all the way up through adulthood, and they went into being political adults. And these children, when they're kids, they typically they like to whine whenever they don't get their way, or "Teacher, Bobby's bothering me." They were basically whiners and complainers. And as they grow up, this type of they're not particularly friendly children. They're always feel threatened. They cannot take the fact that it's okay to live your own life. They feel that as if they must have some pull over everyone else's reality. In other words, like this 18-year-old guy, he went and cleaned up his web space, his MySpace site, and he took down all the statements that said he was he had statements that said that homosexuals are deviants, and that he was against the notion that deviants should have extra rights, and all this stuff was on his MySpace page. So he's gone in there and cleaned that all up. He's trying to present himself now as a nice, clean-cut young man, and avoiding the whole, the fact that he's been outed thing. He took his sexual identity down from Yahoo, from MySpace, heterosexual, and instead of saying he's gay, he just removed that he was heterosexual. So, there's just basically something wrong with these people. How can you be an 18-year-old young man and work diligently, sticking the knives in the back of GLBT folks all over this country by working for these... going to use that language again. By working for these people who are constantly trying to keep us in our place, which is quiet and out of sight, out of mind. And we're just supposed to quietly sit on the sidelines and be killed whenever one of their little redneck prodigy decides to whack one of us. And, for instance, he's been seen carrying signs that said, "Go back in the closet." He held up a sign that said, "Straight power." He held up a sign that said, "Faggotry," at various protests. So he's been outed, and there's various tales about him getting outed, which are all, boring and irrelevant. But what is relevant is the fact that... he is now trying to remake himself as a non-sexual orientation specific young man with a different campaign, a Dale Wighill, who's an independent, but he's basically a Republican. In fact, this Wighill guy has worked Republican circles in the past, and I thought I would bring that up first because Bob had talked about the Tancredo evil prior. But you know how quickly they burn. How many conservatives have we seen get busted over the past month? I mean, it just amazes me. We had the Hayes guy in South Florida. I believe his name was Alan Hayes, who tried to pay the cop $20 in the public restroom. And then we had Vickers, the New Orleans guy who's in the D.C. Madam book. That's just barely scraping the surface. The past couple of months, we've had Haggard, the Colorado, megachurch guy who was, in the movie called Jesus Camp. Yes, it's a disturbing movie. If you haven't seen Jesus Camp, you really should. It's a documentary on the right wing and the way they bring up their children to be little Nazis. And Lord have mercy. Every time you turn around, there's another. You see, it's okay for them to do all this stuff, and then when they get caught, they're all so sorry and everything. But all you got to do is say that you're a Republican, and you up. I mean, right away that identifies you as either running around your wife or having a boyfriend on the side. We've demonstrated it time and time again. These people are so obsessed though with controlling everyone else. Everyone else except themselves. I received this letter today from one of our listeners who says that without gay priests, the church would be completely lost. I love this article. This is by Bishop Gene, or it's the claims Bishop Gene, in any case. The openly gay bishop, now his ordination sparked a crisis in the Anglican community over in England, and who said that they were saying that, you know, if he was made a bishop, or if he was confirmed, it would completely shut down the whole organization. But he's basically saying that the organization was shut down anyway if it was forced to carry on without the gay clergy. He's going on in the article to illustrate that he's mystified by it, because it's common knowledge amongst all the bishops and the various priests. Priests live together with their male partners in the rectories. It's not anything that they raise an eyebrow about. It's just expected. But now that the witch hunt is on, now that we have the public witch hunt, oh, it's a terrible thing. Everybody's got to have their stand on it, don't they? Never ceases to amaze me. He says it's a terrible way to live your life, and I think it's a terrible way to be a church. I think integrity is very important. What does it mean for a clergy person to be in the pulpit calling others to a life of integrity when they can't even live a life of integrity on their own? Sounds like what same kind of struggles we're having here politically in the United States, does it not? He said if all the gay people stayed away from church on a given Sunday, the Church of England would have to shut down. Hallelujah. The Church of England would be no more. He says that between the organist and the clergy and the wardens, and he names a number of staff people here. He said, I'm not trying to be, you know, proud about this or just trying to say we run everything, but I'm honest with you here that... if all the gay people stayed away from church, the Church of England on any given, well, there you have it. Basically, she'd shut down. That'd be all she wrote. Those people. Let's see. He's also speaking to various gay and lesbian groups about rights. I also received another email from this listener. This listener is wonderful news. He's talking about a gay couple that's been arrested for kissing at the Rome Coliseum. Now, two gay men have been charged with lewd conduct for kissing in front of the Coliseum at Rome. Now, this particular listener says, hell, he's been over there to Italy, and that men kiss men and women kiss all the time. It's considered a natural pastime, is the way he puts it. It's common as a glass of water or a glass of wine in Rome. The pair were rushed to a police car. They were taken to a police station. They were held for several hours. And eventually they were issued a summons to appear in court. And if convicted, check this out, they can be sentenced to 2 years in prison. 2 years in prison! Can you imagine that? For kissing a member of your own sex. You know, basically it's nobody's business what anybody whispers in someone else's ear. But they try to make it so. Well, the incident has sparked a public rebellion / outcry. The LGBT group, civil rights group called Archigay, called it an outrage and has accused the police department of homophobia. The police are denying the accusation, but they can't provide any evidence that it was anything other than just a kiss between these two guys. But the police are saying, oh, we would have done it if it was an opposite sex couple too, because it was more than kissing. But they won't say in what way it was more than kissing, nor will they identify in any way that these people broke the law, except that they kissed. Italy's health minister has called the arrest a national embarrassment. There's a transsexual lawmaker now in Italy, by the way. Her name is Vladimir Luxura. It's not very French. I'm Southern. I speak Southern French. In any case, she's a communist politician, and she's the first transsexual lawmaker there, and she's going to raise the issue in Parliament. She says it's absurd that these two young people who love each other should spend the night in the police station without having anything done, or without having done anything seen. In any case, Archigay has called for a national gay kiss-in. Oh, my God, the Italians are in trouble now. Yes, they are in trouble now. They're going to hold a public kiss-in near the Colosseum next weekend to protest the detention of these two men by the police department for kissing in front of the famous Rome Monument, the group said. And police confirmed that they held the men for 40 minutes and that they were released after being charged. In any case, there's another group, too, that wants to stage a kiss-in at another location. I have the details on that somewhere, but... in other words, there's going to be a lot of kissing going on, and obviously this will not stand. So, As we come up on the break, you're listening to Strictly Confidential. You can call toll-free at 877, the number 4, head-on. I'm your host, Peter Godbold, streaming exclusively on the Head Media Network. We'll be right back.
This is Bill O'Brien with a message that pretty much defines Concord University. It's from Emily Dickinson. There is no frigate like a book to take us lands away, nor any courses like a page of prancing poetry. This traverse may the poorest take without oppressive toll. How frugal is the chariot that bears a human soul. Respect for learning, a mission to deliver education that touches souls, consideration to what students can afford, career rewards that pay dividends far beyond the dollars earned. At Concord, we've never crossed that important line between the business of education and education as a business. The first is extremely serious. It changes lives and connects with the moral and the spiritual. We're good at that. The second is no less serious. It raises ethical concerns, however. We avoid that. Concord University, the frugal chariot that bears human souls. Call the Concord Admissions Office, 1-888-384-5249. I can see your
fortune, your fortune. And again, I was talking about the Republican debate. So we'll get to the point where we're going to drag a terrorist out to the stage with the Republicans, and they're all going to take turns kicking him in the nuts and see who the audience cheers for the most. That's going to determine who's going to be the Republican candidate. And that's what they are. Kick them in the nuts. How do they do that on South Park? Rochambeau. They're going to Rochambeau the terrorists.
Come on, rub my nipples while I torture this little piggy.
Yeah, that sounds pretty sweet to me.
The Cup of Joe radio show with your host, the working man's thinking man, Joe Vecchio. 11 a.m. to noon weekdays here on the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice.
Your life is my problem, your foot in my face.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair. When the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roar is called up yonder out there.
And welcome back. Welcome back to the second half hour of Strictly Confidential. I'm your host, Peter Godbold. And I am thrilled you have heard that track before. I know you have. You heard that the Monday following the first Sunday that I met Susie and I met Linda. I met Susie and Linda at the Metropolitan Community Church in Tallahassee, Florida. They made a huge impression on me. And as I said earlier, one of the things this program does very well is bust stereotypes, and I was fascinated by them. Not only do they have a wonderful ministry, not only Susie sings, she has several CDs out. In fact, I'll tell you a little better. She's a singer-songwriter who's enjoyed 6 years of sobriety, and through her music ministry, she shares her love for God and her successes and her setbacks in the road to recovery. She's released her third CD entitled A Journey, of which I'm holding a copy in my hand, and from which When the Roll is Called Up Yonder is on. We'll be playing another track in full from that CD, the title track called A Journey, later on this evening. And she's released two other CDs with the Mustard Seeds. Linda, her partner, is a published writer. She's a mother of two. She is a high school teacher of 18 years. She's an incredible speaker. She brings a wonderful flavor of humor and to her ministry, and I have to add, she brings a wonderful flavor of humanity and love to the ministry. She shares her story in a very touching way. Their websites, by the way, if you'd like to have a look at the website while we're talking with Susie and Linda, they are at BrennerBeckstedt.com. That's BrennerBeckstedt.com. There on the site, you'll see pictures of them and links to their music and their schedule. And they travel all around the country singing at church at various events. And I'm thrilled to have them with me. Susan and Linda, or Susan, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. Hey, Peter.
Hi, I'm glad to have you guys here. What a thrill it was to run into you. Now, that's the first time I had been to an MCC in many years. I was telling them earlier this evening that I have been attending a Methodist church for a number of years, and the contrast between the two was just amazing, and what a Sunday I happened to choose as the first Sunday there. You guys just rocked my world. I'm hoping that you'll tell us about how you guys met and some of the stories about your traveling ministry. I mean, this is just amazing to me. The you know, I can't imagine anything that busts stereotypes better than a lesbian couple doing a gospel memory. Ministry. That's just amazing to me.
Well, Susie and I started ministry actually separately. Susie had the band of Mustard Seed that you mentioned, and I was doing pulpit feel here in Omaha and helping our pastors with funerals and memorial services and Holy Union. And when Susie and I met, she asked if I would join her band, but I have no musical talent, as we tell everyone. So she helped me to learn to play the bass guitar. And that was my stepping stone into the band, but I actually never got to do that because the band went on its own journey, and Susie and I decided to start our ministry, the Brenner Beckstedt Ministry, and that was in 2005.
Hey, well, you performed.
Sorry, Peter.
By all means.
She did pick up the bass, and she did play me one song, and so, you know, I was pretty impressed that she had learned to play the bass guitar.
Does she play on that particular track that we came back from break with? Did she play on Rollers Called Up Yonder?
Oh, no. She doesn't. She played once for me in private and hasn't played since.
It's okay. No, I'm not good at playing the... I play occasionally here for a church in Omaha, but I'm definitely on the lower... I'm a fill-in for sure. We have a really good player here, Chris, and so I just fill in when she's gone.
Well, you certainly make up for... If you don't play, you make up more than make up for that in your ability to speak. And apparently, you're a teacher of 18 years. Do you still teach? How do you manage? Do you juggle the two? How does that work? Because apparently you've been interviewed by television stations.
Well, and I do still teach. And the thing about our ministry is it's a summer ministry, and so that allows us to travel when school is not in session. And Susie and I are seriously considering making this ministry full-time, and so at that point I would consider no longer teaching, and Susie would resign from her current job. So we love doing the ministry, and people such as those in Tallahassee are good people. It is so fun to go to churches and meet people, and they treat you like you are a member of their family.
That's exactly the way I felt. When I went there, it was very much a family feeling. The instant I walked in the door, there were smiles and greetings, and there were no bounds. You often find in churches where there's sort of that didn't seem to be sort of a hierarchy kind of an environment. It seemed to be very open and honest. And Susie, you've been playing for since you were a kid. There was something about piano lessons, if I recall.
My mother made me play piano from the time I was about in kindergarten. But I always said that I never, you know, I was one of those kids that never practiced. I didn't want to play. I would go to the piano lesson never having practiced. So, you know, I like to tease and say, you know, it was more painful for the teacher than it was for the student. But The one thing about it, though, is that it did allow me to, when I decided to play the guitar, you know, I had a background in music, some music already, and so when I picked up the guitar, that really was where I found my passion at, was playing the guitar, and I wrote my first song. The first song I wrote, actually, is on that Journey CD. We just kind of reformatted it a little bit. It's a pretty slow song the way I wrote it when I was in eighth grade, but it's called The One to Know on there, and we've kind of jazzed it up a little bit, and kind of has a fondness for me because, like I said, it was the first song I wrote when I was in eighth grade. So,
wow.
Yeah.
And apparently you when you first got the guitar, you ditched a boyfriend at the time. You had what? We want to know everything, Susie. We're relentless. We want to know everything. Tell us about the boyfriend you ditched over the guitar. Yeah. How does that work?
Well, you know what? I wish it was. I wish the story went the way you said. Unfortunately, the boyfriend ditched me. But you know what? The good thing about it is that, and I was really upset. It was my first puppy love, and but the good thing about it was that it was because of him. He played the guitar, and you know, I wanted to play the guitar, and you know, I might not have picked it up, but you know, I always say everything happens for a reason, and so, you know, I'm always right where I'm supposed to be. So, you know, at that time, obviously, I did continue playing the guitar, and I found found a way to express myself through music, and I really enjoy it a lot. So, it was a
now Linda. Now, Linda, apparently you went to MCC in Omaha for the very first time on a Mother's Day. And
yeah.
Apparently your children weren't with you. That was kind of a rough experience for you. Can you tell us about how you first found MCC and began to attend?
Well, I actually started attending MCC because of a friend who was worried about me. I had just come out. I was a late bloomer compared to my students who are out at the, you know, tender age of 15 or younger. And so I was in my 30s. And she was worried about my religious opportunities. She bought me some books on how to be gay and a person, which I found funny that she bought me books about being gay. And this was a straight friend. And she got a local newsletter that said that there was a church that primarily focused on the GLBT community. And I thought that would be a really great because I had been church shopping and couldn't find a church that I felt comfortable in. And one of the threads that I have found true to our community as I talk to more women is that there are many women that are not always with their children. And when I wrote that story, I have found this to be true as I've traveled to other churches and other women tell me their stories about their children. So I went in, and the first day was Mother's Day. On the Sunday, I attended this church, and they asked all the mothers to raise their hands so that they might give us a flower for that day. And it was a bittersweet moment to receive a flower acknowledging me as a mother, and yet my children were not with me.
Well, if I recall, you're speaking at MCC the Sunday, this 3 weeks ago. You made reference to your son. Are you and Susie raising a teenage boy now?
We are, and we are doing that with his dad. Justin lives with his dad, and that's an arrangement that I made when the kids were very young, and it goes back to that idea that a lot of us who are the baby boomer women who came out, we sent our children to live with their fathers. There's so many of us that did that. And I did it also thinking that my kids would have a better life in some stable home. And it's not that I'm a wild child by any means, but I wasn't sure what it would be like to be gay and how people would treat me was what I was most concerned about. And so Justin visits me often, and now that he drives, he comes over pretty frequently whenever we ask. And it's been great having Susie in our lives because the family division of labor is so much easier now that she's here, because I'm in charge of making sure Justin gets his homework done and getting him to the doctor appointment. And Susie is in charge of teaching him to drive, which he did about a year ago, and that was great. She's very patient, and Justin liked to drive a little fast, and Susie likes to drive a little fast, so that was a good match. And most recently, she's been responsible for Hickey Patrol because Justin has started dating.
Stars!
And that was something that was a surprise to both of us. So as soon as I found the Hickey, I sent him to Susie.
Oh, that's incredible. She's the Hickey Police. How convenient
is that? She is. And I like that arrangement.
Oh, that's what... Well, I so understand that. You know, when we grow up and we know we're different from everyone, we don't have any role models, especially when we go back a few years. I go back a lot of years. I think probably more years than you, but that's a whole other story. But we... And certainly there's still really no role models. Certainly the television programs don't provide any, and we still are not, by and large, able to tell our parents or our churches or our kids at school. You know, they're always running around going, oh, that's so gay, and there's harassment, and there's this sort of thing. I can see where you made those arrangements early on, because how were you to know what being a lesbian woman meant? You had no clue, just like our straight listeners have no clue. We had no clue going into this either.
Well, and the other thing is that I'm a public school teacher, and I wasn't sure how my kids would be treated if I were to be outed. I am out now, and I lived a very secret life, which eventually I had to reconcile, because I do consider myself Christian, but that double life meant I had to lie constantly. And I did it to protect my children, but ultimately I did lose my daughter over that, because she left because I was gay. And as a result, all of that lying did nothing but create a division between her and I think.
Wow. Let me point out that we are taking telephone calls. Susie and Linda have both said they would take caller calls. So if you'd like to talk with us, you're welcome to join in the conversation. The telephone number is toll-free, 877, the number 4, head-on. That's 877, the number 4, H-E-A-D-O-N, head-on. Or you can put that in numbers as 877-443-2366. Have a toll-free long-distance calling plan or an unlimited long-distance calling plan, please use 304-658-3333, and that rings in West Virginia. Susie, the music is wonderful. I couldn't resist playing when the role is called up yonder that Monday, telling people, "Oh, I've talked to these wonderful, wonderful couple, and they're lesbians, and oh my God, they're gospel singers, and oh my God, they have a ministry, and I'm so wrecked," you know. And so I had to play that, and everybody really liked that. Do you ever get any invitations to play in I don't know, is mixed audiences the way to put it, in straight venues not like MCC, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Well, actually,
how are you received?
Well, actually, I really only have played at MCCs and we have been at the Unity Church. Unity in Omaha has guest singers come in for their Sunday service special music, and so I went there and I talked. I played songs about my recovery, and I did play a song off the Journey, We Stand Amazed, also. But Linda and I, we go to MCCs, but we also are branching out to affirming churches, which MCC is our home, but you know, our stories that we tell, really, like for example, my recovery, you know, it doesn't matter if you're gay or straight, you know, those issues are real for everyone. And so we are trying to open up to more affirming churches. It's easier for us to get into MCCs because the networking with them is a lot easier. It's harder to get into other venues without knowing people or knowing someone in that denomination. We did play at a Lutheran church in Kansas City that's open and affirming, and it's a mixed congregation. I say mixed when I mean, you know, straight and gays. And so it's not a fine line or anything, because like I said, we're talking, we're all in the same boat, other than, you know, our sexuality. But we've just basically concentrated on MCCs. The other people at Unity, they were great. I mean, they bought CDs, they talked to us, they, you know, it was like there was definitely that line of names, you know, the line of names, whether you're gay or straight, that wasn't even there. Mm-hmm. It was totally withdrawn. There wasn't like we were on divided lines or there was any difference between anyone. We were all just there to worship God, and they loved Christian music, and they loved to hear people's story about their walk and journey with God, and it was a really amazing experience, and that's really probably the only one we've definitely had in a mixed denomination, so to speak.
Well, I'm monitoring our chat room while we talk. We have a main chat room, which is our public chat room. We have some of the brightest and most progressive people in the country there, and I monitor production also. But I'm seeing Chino in our chat room is saying that, she's saying, I quote, my church would love to have them. So I'm telling Chino right now, just go to their site. Their site will be posted in just a second. ELO will post the site, and you can, that's a clickable link, and contact information is there to set that up, China, if you'd like to do that. Isn't that correct? Is that how one would approach you for...
You know, one other thing that we were in Kansas City, and someone, a friend of mine from high school, and we were at a memorial service for someone's parents, and we were talking about Linda and I traveling and everything, and, you know, it wasn't like I said, oh, yeah, I'm gay, I'm out, da-da-da, but it was very funny because the woman said, oh, you could come to my church, and I said, well... It might need to be affirming. And she said, affirming? And I said, what church is it? And she told me, and I told Linda, I said, do they like us? And she said, yeah, they do. And so the girl goes, oh, we're real open. I said, it needs to be open. She goes, oh, we're accepting of everybody. And so we are going to contact that church and see if they might be interested. So, and like the person that you said, like China, I mean, whether they're MCC or whatever denomination, like I said, we are all in the same boat, you know. We are just out to spread God's love and tell about the journeys that we've had, so.
Well, China is one of our straight listeners and chatters, so I'm not sure which church she goes to, but it wouldn't be MCC, I don't believe. And we have a huge number of progressive straight folks, and they're getting to know us better and better as a result of this program, as well as GLBT folks all over the country. We have listeners as far away as... the Netherlands, the last time I checked,
wow.
It never ceases to amaze me. And a lot of people actually listen to the in delayed stream who do something else right now, and then they connect to the archives and listen to it, or it's available on iTunes also.
What you're doing is helping mm-hmm. that conversation exist, and I'm very impressed by that.
Absolutely.
Well, it's something that has to be done, and it's not that I'm any smarter than anybody else or better educated. I'm certainly not better educated than a lot of people, although I do have an education. The thing is I was just the one that was crazy enough to do that. So,
well, praise God for you, Peter.
Well, Linda, I was going to ask you, and being a teacher, you in your discussion here off your website, you were talking about a student, the difference between Daniel and Heather, and apparently you do, you fairly openly talk to these gay kids in the Nebraska school system, and that's kind of a brave thing to do. How are you received as a lesbian teacher in Nebraska, and especially talking to the students when they're having problems, or apparently, if you'll tell us about Heather and how that all came up and how you're treated.
Well, concerning my students as far as what it's like to be out as a teacher, just as a heterosexual teacher would not announce, you know, their sexuality, I don't either. But what I do is I have pictures of Susie on my desk, and then Susie and Justin, so we appear as a family. I bring Susie to events. I introduce her as my partner. So I try to normalize that as opposed to pushing my agenda, because I don't have an agenda. This is simply my normal lifestyle. What happens when my students who are gay talk to me, it would be inappropriate for me to try to impose any particular lifestyle on students. And so I think what happens is they seek out teachers who are tolerant. You know, we want our counselors to be tolerant and open and not practicing a particular and pushing a particular lifestyle on students. And I think because they know that I do have a partner, that they would seek me out to just visit with me. And the stories are sometimes about teachers who are not tolerant. Sometimes the stories are about, I'm afraid to tell my parents stories. And so I'm a listener. I think that a teacher is not qualified to give advice. And if necessary, I do guide the students back to the counseling department, you know, if it becomes such as they need something more than somebody who's listening.
I see. Well, even though you can't or don't announce it, and I completely understand that, are you regarded, and also what age level is this? Are you regarded as the come-to person for information about this?
I teach at the high school level. And am I regarded as the come-to person? Is that what you said?
Yes. I don't know how to put it. In other words, the students, is it common knowledge that you're a person that that is open to talking about that amongst the gay kids?
Probably. It's pretty well known that if students would be interested in beginning a gay-straight alliance, that I would be the teacher to speak to. And Susie and I appear on television for interviews about the marriage action, promoting the getting rid of our constitutional amendment in Nebraska, you know, that is a man and woman only marriage. And so we've been interviewed, and the students do talk about that, and they ask our son Justin about my sexuality. And initially, a couple of years ago, he protected it, and he's since been told by the other kids it's pretty cool he has a lesbian mom, and so he feels comfortable with it now. He was uncertain about how it would be received.
Well, I bet you had some reservations about that too, because you probably didn't know how he would be received. You know,
yes.
These kids sometimes they paint with a fairly broad brush. That had to be havoc on your heart as to what to do there.
Oh, definitely, and that was part of the reason why I was not honest with Justin at first. And eventually, we just talked, and I told Justin that if my job were ever threatened, it's okay, you know, that I would fight for my job, because I think that I would be fine to be a test case in Nebraska for someone to lose their job, because I've been very careful to have a really strong record, because if I ever lost my job because I'm gay, that's the only reason I would lose my job. And I think that I feel very confident to be willing to stand up for that right, because I look at my students, they're so bold and brave, and teachers tell the kids, you know, to stand up for your rights, but it took me a long time before I realized I also needed to stand up for my own rights. And
well, I'm so proud of you for doing that. I really am.
Well, thank you. And I need to tell you one little more segment about the story with Sarah, because it kind of creates a full circle. And it's one I shared in Tallahassee. Sarah had left when she was about 15 because I was gay. And Susie and I found a posting on our website from her just a couple of months ago where she, after all of these years, 7 years, checked in to say hi and wanted to meet us, and she met us this summer. And as it turns out, Sarah is also gay. And we were very shocked by that news. We met her and her partner this summer. So,
wow.
Some people
There are always stories. You hear these stories about teachers that are contacted by their students so many years later, who out of the clear blue skies drop by to tell them what a wonderful life-changing experience it was, or how that particular teacher changed a life. And you just never know when that's going to come out of the blue. And, you know, GLBT kids never had that before you. You may be one of the few teachers in this entire country that are willing to talk with us about this sort of thing, because it's such a scary thing to go through.
Yeah, and Peter,
I'm going to speak up for Linda because she probably wouldn't tell you herself, but she does receive lots of emails or letters, occasionally a letter in the mail about people, students that she's had, that she has changed their life. You know, she has helped form them in some way, whether they be gay, lesbian, or even just heterosexual kids that she has helped them, whether it's be in journalism or whether it be in their life. Just recently someone found her on the website, and I don't know if they Googled her name or whatever, but they found her on the website and sent her an email and said how great they were doing and what an influence that she had had on their lives. And so, you know, she does get several awards too, so I'm very proud of her for who she is.
And quite rightly. And she's such a gifted speaker. And when she was in front of the group in Tallahassee, everything just flowed from her. It wasn't speaking so much. It was as a conversation with everyone there. It was so personal.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's very sweet. Thank you.
Yeah, that's my wife.
Well, let me tell you guys. You guys, I've been mentioning, you know, your website, and you have some fans. There are some folks that have seen your site, and they've seen your pictures, and they love you guys, and they appreciate very much what you're doing. And again, that website is, for those of you who are not in the chat room, is brennerstekstr.com. That's B-R-E-N-N-E-R. BECKSTEAD.com, and there you'll find links to their music and how to sign them up to visit with your church or organization, and they would love to hear from you on that. I'm sure they
Absolutely.
Would because they're having seen them. I've got to tell you, these people are not your average got off the bus going to sing a song gospel singing group. No. These people are an amazing couple, and your love for each other is so apparent, and it's plain to see, having met you in person, that your son is in clearly a loving environment. It's such a shame that we're still having to fight battles that we're having to fight regarding family.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That is the reality of what the GLBT community continues to deal with, that, you know, although we do have the opportunity in MCC churches and affirming churches to worship, we still do not have the same rights as heterosexual couples regarding marriage and benefits. It is the same. But you know what? We have to continue fighting for those things. We cannot just stand aside and let it happen to us.
Well, as you probably know, Florida is particularly bad about, you know, it's the wonderful vacation spot, but we have an old joke down here. Florida vacation, leave on probation.
And, oh, no.
yeah. You know, this place is, it's got some pretty scary parts to it, and even in the big cities, we've got this Mayor Nagel thing, and he's basically funded by the Carl, what we call the Carl Snake Ministries. It's actually the Carl Ridge Ministries, a huge mega church down in South Florida who's very much anti-gay, and then you got the Nagel guy. He's the mayor of Fort Lauderdale, of all places, beating up gay folks at every opportunity. And
yeah, we just read about that. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty disturbing. We've run some audio clips here on that, and you know, he's on some sort of a campaign to say that he's going to put in robo toilets to clean up the men's room. The police departments are saying, "Well, what problem men's room? Nobody told us." And
oh, no.
It's this the Carl Ridge Ministries actually has been funding several plants in the city commission. We have some proof of that, and Nagel is one of them. And the Carl Ridge Ministries is one of the the equivalent, I guess, the Florida equivalent of something like a Focus in the Family, maybe something like that. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, in Florida we see it quite clearly, and you know, and even the gay marriage amendment. You know, in Florida we put up there's a site, I can't call it right off the top of my head, but it's a site that will tell you everybody in the state that signed it. After all, it's public information. It's called Know Thy Neighbor. That's what it's called. Know Thy Neighbor.
Mm.
And I was amazed to see that several people I know out here in this little neck of the woods had signed it. And And it's all because they don't know us. They have no idea who we are. They are so frustrating.
Well, and that's one of the things that I did learn from the pastor in Kansas City is that sometimes these marriage amendments, for example, are passed by people who don't realize that it's their neighbors and their doctors and their teachers and their grocers, et cetera, who are gay. And we are part of their society, and we are the good people of society. And they pass these constitutional amendments or laws hurting people that they actually care about.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Linda, you remember that? We had a riverboat ride up here. It was a fundraiser for our church. And those two people, this couple, they came from Lincoln.
Which is 50 miles away from Omaha.
To get on this dinner boat and riverboat ride. And I noticed them, and they were looking around, and they sat down, and I said, hello, and they said, we think we got on the wrong ride because there were drags, and there were, the whole boat was a gay cruise boat. And they said, we think we got on the wrong ride. I said, well, we rented the boat, and it's a fundraiser for our church. And I said, you know what, I am sure that we can get you your money back if you'd like to, get off before we get out underwater. And they said, no, they thought they'd stick it out, and they were just in awe watching everyone. But there was entertainment on the boat. I sang, a bunch of people sang, some drag queens sang, and they got themselves a couple drinks, and we had food, and by the end of the boat, they had their picture taken.
Oh, my stuff.
And they said that they had the greatest time, and that the one thing that I did tell them was that, these people are just like you. And I said what Linda had said, we are your doctors and your lawyers and the people that you see in the grocery store. And they went off. And I know that, I think truly that two lives were changed by merely getting on the boat that day.
What a wonderful story.
Right. And those people, they might change their vote if that vote ever comes up again.
Mm-hmm.
But they had a great time.
Think so. What a wonderful story.
Never wanted to get on there in the beginning.
Yeah. But how that was brave to stay, because that fear is ingrained into us at such an early age, and people are told so many ugly stories about what we're supposed to be.
Absolutely. And these people
were
young.
Yeah.
Yeah. They weren't young.
That's amazing. That would mean that it's even more so. That's an amazing thing that they overcame that and stayed. God bless them.
Yeah,
I hope we did some gospel
stuff.
Now that's a vacation story that is being told. Oh,
yeah.
They have to be telling that one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Yeah. I have to say I'm so glad that you were able to join me this evening. And I don't want to keep you on the phone all evening, although I would if I could get away with it. But I do want to ask you if there are things that you want to, I've gone through several questions, but if there are things that either one of you would like to say or present or anything new that's coming up or just whatever, we would love to hear what's on your heart.
Linda?
Well, part of what we're doing right now is, I think we're just trying to, we have a sense of what it is that God is calling us to do, and we are working on our journey, trying to go out and not change people necessarily, but just be in the different venues that God might open doors for us, so that Susie can tell her recovery stories, because we have people who come to our concerts or our church services because that's where they need to be that day. And there are people who need to hear what I have to say about parenting or teaching or just some of the stories they tell are just life stories.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in the midst of change ourselves because we are hoping to make this our full-time career. And so for those people who are family and friends, they are praying for us and to help us to figure out what it is our path is. So, and our most upcoming event, we're going to Rendezvous in Cheyenne this weekend, and Susie will be there with our pastor from Omaha to help him with the Sunday service, and then we will be doing the service in Fort Collins on Sunday night.
Well, that's wonderful. I'm so glad to hear it. And again, for those of you who are not in the chat room, the website to reach the Brenner, B-R-E-N-N-E-R, Beckstead, B-E-C-K-S-T-E-A-D.com, and there you can find contact information about booking these two remarkable women, and I can't say enough good about them. And also, as we close the interview, I would like you to stick around. We're going to be playing a track from their from Susie's latest CD, Life is a Journey. We'll be playing the title track, Life is a Journey, and I'm sure you'll enjoy that. Susie, Linda, God bless you guys, and thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, and we just want to thank, you know, the community out there, especially our Omaha family, for all the ways they've supported us.
Mm-hmm. And Peter, God bless you, because, again, what Linda said earlier, you are definitely a good thing for our community. So,
well, thank you. That's very sweet of you to say. And I have to tell you, too, that you've made an impression in our chat room. I'm getting comments about, thank them for making Sunday special, and that they have a way. You guys have a way of making people feel very comfortable by another chatter, and you're well received. I monitor the chat room to see how things are going over, and they're telling me to shut up to play them because they want to hear
okay.
the music.
All right, thank you, Peter.
They're brutally frank in there. I mean, they will tell you what's on their mind. But before we go, I want you to know that you do not have to have a set interview time. Either one of you are welcome to pick up the phone and call the toll-free number anytime this program is on, and I'll put you on the air right away. If you have any announcements or wonderful stories, we're here for you.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you.
Thank you. And good evening to both of you. There you have it, my faithful listeners. Two of the most amazing lesbians you will ever meet in your entire life. That was Susie and Linda, and they have a traveling Christian ministry. And if ever there was a stereotype shattered, it was shattered tonight. Let's go ahead and do is go ahead and play the title track from Susie Brenner's latest CD, Life is a Journey. The title track is called Life is a Journey. And then after that, let's just go straight into the top of the hour break. Thank you.
For that, too much stuff to do, got bills to pay. No time to do this, no time to do that. We live in a world that's so fast. Gotta slow down and enjoy the ride, 'cause it's all about the journey. Life is a journey, we're part of God's great plan. Life's not about the things you have or you don't have. We need to laugh, we need to love, we need to grow. We need to follow God wherever God wants us to go. We need to trust God and we need to take it slow. Because it's all about the journey. Your schedule is booked, you don't have the time to fit anymore in your life. No time for the people that could help you grow. No time for the friends you used to know. Gotta slow down and enjoy the ride, 'cause you don't wanna miss the journey. Life is a journey, we're part of God's great plan. Life's not about the things you have or you don't have. We need to laugh, we need to love, we need to follow God wherever God wants us to go. We need to trust God and we need to take it slow. Because it's all about the journey. about what gets left undone. I've got more each day in Christ to find out who we are, what we're living for. Gotta slow down and enjoy the ride, 'cause the joy is in the journey. Life is a journey, we're part of God's great plan. Life's not about the things you have or you don't have. We need to laugh, we need to love, we need to grow. We need to follow God wherever God wants us to go. We need to trust God and we need to take it slow, because it's all about the journey.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can grab off our website over at progressive.org. It's amazing that Alberto Gonzalez still has his job. What do you need to do to get fired in the Bush administration? Well, if you're the president's crony, quite a lot, evidently. Gonzalez has repeatedly lied or fudged about his role in the U.S. attorney scandal and in the illegal domestic wiretapping program. He also appears to have lied even during his confirmation hearings when he testified that the United States didn't have a policy of exporting detainees to countries that torture. But Bush doesn't care, because in all these instances, Gonzalez was doing his master's bidding. Plus, it's convenient for Bush to have Gonzalez still there. He offers one more layer of protection before the darts and spears come straight at the president. The New York Times, for instance, can call for the impeachment of Gonzalez. That's easy. But it still hasn't called for the impeachment of Bush. That would take guts that the Times doesn't have. Sure, Gonzalez should be canned, prosecuted, or impeached, or any combination thereof. He's an embarrassment to the Department of Justice and to the country. But like Ashcroft before him, he's been serving a criminal president. And we need to devote our attention to that criminal, not his hired thug. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got
to
go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
From the Night Sound Studios, here's Charm City's very own, sassy and classy, Erica Richards.
Join us at Night Sounds every Saturday night at 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern for a unique musical experience. You'll hear featured segments like One Hit Wonders, Under the Covers, and Night Sounds dedications hosted by yours truly, Erica Richards. Oh, by the way, the contact email information that we gave out during our debut is not in effect. So, to request a dedication, please contact Erica Richards at billyshearsmusic.com. That's Erica with a K, and Shears, Shears. To reach Billy Shears, direct your email to nightsounds with an S at billyshearsmusic.com. We'll be waiting for you this Saturday evening.
HIV has changed the way people think about sex.
today's generation really has to be aware about how they go about having sex.
HIV, AIDS is a really scary thing, and it's kind of like holds this generation captive in a sense.
Yes, AIDS scares the crap out of me.
Face the reality of AIDS and other sexually transmitted diseases. Talk to your partners, practice safer sex, and get tested.
Anyone can get it, so you just need to be educated and safe.
This message has been brought to you by Redwood AIDS Information Network and Services with support from the Mel and Grace McLean Foundation.
And welcome back to the Strictly Confidential GLBT Conversation Radio Show on the Head On Radio Network. I am Peter Godbold. I am your host, and I am so pleased to have you here with us tonight. The telephone number is 877, the number 4, Head On. That's toll-free, or you can use 877-443-2366. If you have a toll-free long-distance calling plan, please, you can save us a nickel by using 304-658-3333. Email arrives to Peter at headonradionetwork.com, and we are glad to hear from you in any way you choose to reach us. We just ran the Billy Shears information. You know, Billy Shears is our magical music guy. He is the go-to person for anything musical with this network, and he has a show that runs at 9 p.m. on Saturday evenings. The chat room is, of course, open to that, and I encourage you to listen. It's possibly the most, well, let me put it like this. I've heard a lot of music, heard a lot of DJs, I've heard a lot. And I got to tell you, this is just about the most well-executed programming I have ever heard. It's flawless and it's fabulous. Billy Shears does a remarkable job, and I inadvertently left Billy out of the list of our hosts on the Head On Radio Network earlier when the show first started, and I apologize for that. I was going off of our main list of the hosts, and Billy, don't feel bad. I haven't been added to that list either. You know, all of us here, I should explain, all of us here at the Head On Radio Network, none of us, we all do this because we love what we're doing, and we feel that what we're doing is very, very important to get this sort of information out to people, not only my show, but the environmental shows, the Washington, plus the production chat is telling me we're under construction, and truly we are. None of us take any money from this network. We all do this because we are committed personally. So the kind of programming that you hear here is not for profit in any way. So that may explain to you some of the differences that you hear from this network that you do not hear on others. And we do at the headonradionetwork.com site. That's headonradionetwork.com. There's a PayPal button if you'd like to make a small contribution to keep the lights on and the streaming running. We don't receive any personal funds from that. That is strictly for keeping streams and lights going. In fact, thanks to your wonderful contributions, it looks like we're going to be able to upgrade our broadband service at the studio in West Virginia very, very soon. And this is going to solve a legion of problems, especially for the remote hosts. As you know, Bob does his show from the studio in West Virginia, but the majority of the hosts, all of the others, are streaming in to the studio via broadband, and as far away as Australia. I'm in North Florida. We're everywhere. As far away as Chicago, we're far flung, and the bandwidth at the studio is critical. And by improving that, we are going to be able to, I think, have a more stable and clearer stream. And I just want to thank you if you've been by the headonradionetwork.com site and use that PayPal button. You are very much appreciated. And so that's what you're listening to. We're under construction. We're communal. That's what I'm reading what production chat is telling me. Okay. And also, I'm going to do a Holy Roller show, Agnes. I'm not do Strictly Confidential anymore. I'm going to do the GLBT Gospel Hour. We have caller Jim on the line. Jim, welcome to Strictly Confidential.
Good evening, Peter. How are you?
I'm fine as frogs here, my friend. How are you, sir?
Reasonably well. Listen, I was very impressed by the interview you just had. These ladies are doing a great job.
They were something, weren't they?
And I say, Tallulahillah, hallelujah, you know, really.
They were remarkable. And I tell you, Susie's such a good singer, and Linda is such a good speaker. Between the two of them, they make one hell of a gospel team.
Well, the thing about this is these people are, from what I could gather, are trying to reach individuals who, for most of their entire lives, have been taught by traditional religion that they are beyond the grace of God. And that is the thing that is such a terrible, terrible thing to do to anybody. And I'm just so pleased to hear of their progress, and I wish them well. And I'm very glad you had them, and I thought you were doing so.
I do too, Jim, and it's sort of like death by a thousand paper cuts. That's the way we kind of grow up in this country. That, I mean, sometimes we're just outright murdered and left on the side of the road, as we all know. But for most of us, it's death by a thousand paper cuts, disenfranchised, condemnation, and a lot of it stems from the church. And they're doing a wonderful thing.
Well, people who are marginalized and spiritually disenfranchised are given some type of a beacon to which they can direct their lives. And I think that's what's very important. And I think that's what the original ministry of Christ was about. Because, as I recall, people to whom he directed a lot of his attention were the disenfranchised, the marginalized of the era in which he lived and was physically present upon this earth. And it's a good message. And I wish
I agree, Jim, and thank you. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Okay, good night, my friend.
Thank you, sir. That's our caller, Jim. He is from a secret location on the West Coast. We don't know about Jim's location because he is a national treasure, and he's writing a book, which means this show might be in it. So I don't mess with Jim. I don't want any bad press coming out of the secret life. And indeed, Susie and Linda are a national treasure. Interesting story. The United States and the European Union have agreed to expand a security program that shares personal data about millions. Let me read that again. Shares personal data about millions of U.S.-bound airline passengers a year. And yes, my listeners, that includes what you do in bed. This is all part of national security, you realize. This is very important for Homeland Security to know what you do in bed, because it has a direct impact on terrorism in this country. The deal allows Washington to retain and use the information, quote, only where the life of a data subject or of others could be imperiled or seriously impaired, such as counterterrorism investigations. Well, gee, kids, seems to me we're under a perpetual terror alert. In other words, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, this material can be used. There's no only allows in cases where there's counterterrorism investigation. Honey, that's what we do for this country. We're professional, endless, this war, the country that didn't attack us in the first place. And yes, my friends, your sexual orientation is critical to the U.S. government. They must know that. They will know your racial and ethnic origins, your political opinions, your religious beliefs, your philosophical beliefs, whether you were a member of a trade union and what trade union, data about your health, data about your traveling partner, and about your sexual orientation. Yes, my friends, they will even know whether you have a king-size bed or double beds, or if you requested to sleep together. These files are going into, they're going to keep track. Oh, here's the one. One thing of interest regarding your health is they'll want to know if you have a wheelchair, because you could be smuggling a bomb in your cast. Oh, Lord. The data stored now includes names, addresses, and credit card information, as well as telephone and email contacts, itineraries, the hotel, the rentals, the car reservation, all that, and your sexual orientation. The government will maintain the database of all travelers, including travelers of U.S. citizenship. That means you. Including people who are believed to be no risk or threat. And the government will maintain it for data mining. If you don't know what that term means, it means by comparing values in various databases that are unrelated, you'd be what you can deduce if you have the logic set up to analyze billions and billions of files, which the federal government does. Jack Dempsey, who's the policy director for the Center on Democracy and Technology, he's saying the EU, the European Union, has expressed grave concern over the plan, and he says it's without legal precedent. Of course, there's no grave concern here. It's something we have to have, you know. Fight them over there so we don't have to fight them over here. Yep, what you do in bed's important. He wrote to the EU officials on June the 27th, and he's saying, I have serious doubts whether the outcome of these negotiations will be fully compatible with European fundamental rights. Yes, my friends, it is Europe that is the home of civil rights these days. Not this country, not the land of the free. Oh, no, no, no. U.S. Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff praises the pact, and he's saying it's an essential screening tool for detecting potential and dangerous transatlantic travelers. God save us from the Queens. He's saying that if we had this on September 11th, Chertoff says, Chertoff, by the way, Chertoff is a major George Bush flunky and incompetent. He's saying if we'd had this information, we would have known within a matter of moments and have been able to identify many of the 19 hijackers, and we'd have known their method of payment and their phone numbers and their seat assignments. Jeez, you'd think that what he's saying here is that the endless number of memos saying terrorists are going to knock over a building in the United States using airplanes would be sufficient to prevent 9/11. But no, they need to know the method of payment, the phone numbers, and who they sleep with to find that out. Yes, prior to 9/11, for those of you who may be new to this network, it's common knowledge that, yes, in fact, there were many, many, many communications, and they were quite urgent. They were marked high priority. There were people who tried to talk with Bush while he was hiding down there on the ranches to tell him that, yes, in fact, terrorists were going to fly planes into the tallest buildings in the United States. They were ignored while he cut brush. The government combines this information on the terrorist watch list, the information about who you sleep with. They combine this information with the watch list using data mining technology. And other databases with sophisticated computer algorithms to detect high-risk travelers. And in ways that watchdog groups, you're going to love this, say are not adequately explained. No, and it never will be until these bastards are down and out. Lord God, peach, impeach, impeach. Security Deputy Assistant Secretary for Policy said sensitive information is subject to extensive restrictions in Europe, such as data on religious beliefs, sex partners, but it's routinely filtered out by U.S. computers to his knowledge. They're not filtering that out. And now they just want to formally be able to get it. They already have it, basically, is what they're saying, but now they want to be able to formally say that they're getting it. Here we go into the wheelchairs with bombs in their leg casts statement again. And they're saying that we don't have to worry. It's not going to affect our privacy, but never be shared or used unless there's a severe emergency threat, which is, of course, 24 hours a day. This data can be kept for up to 15 years to haunt you, if they choose to use it to haunt you. They've developed a push-pull system. They were pulling some of this information from the airline registrations, the car registrations. Now they're insisting on a push system so that the information is delivered to the Homeland Security computer systems. So they don't have to go get it. They want it delivered now. However, there's a big hassle now about this 15 years figure. trying to get out of there, saying, well, after 7 years, it's dormant, and we expect to erase it after 15 years, but there will be no official expiration date. How do you like that, my lovelies? Now, it's what you do in bed is very important to our national security. And in the we're going to have to wait for them to die for things to get better department, which I occasionally talk about. I've said this many times. You know, prejudice is an evil, ingrained, nasty thing that affects so many people. And this is pretty much a lung occupation. If anyone doubts it, let me give you this story. Boise State running back Ian Johnson got married to the girl he proposed to on national television. He's a football player. She was a cheerleader. And he proposed to her after scoring the winning points in the Fiesta Bowl against Oklahoma. They were married Saturday in a traditional ceremony at a cathedral in the Rockies' First United Methodist Church. Johnson, who is black, and his wife, who is white. Johnson received phone calls and about 30 letters, including personal threats from people who objected to his plan to marry his white fiance. He has not described the threats, except to say they were, some were life-threatening, and it's unclear where they came from. Do you realize, my dear listeners, that the law was changed in 1967 so that black folks and white folks could get married? 1967. That's 30 years. 30 years ago. And when, by the way, an interesting statistic, when it was set up so that the laws against interracial marriage were rolled back, at that time, 72% of Southern whites did not want interracial couples, and 42% of Northern whites did not want interracial couples. So it was changed in spite of the majority wanting it to be kept the same. It's a little bit similar to our situation these days, is it not? And so what I'm seeing here is that, yes, in fact, gay marriage will happen, and lesbians will be able to get married. Eventually it will all happen. It will happen perhaps state by state. It may take many years, and it may take even more years before it's repealed on a federal level, depending upon how quickly we can get the bastards out of there. But don't be surprised if 40, 50 years later, and you and your partner are about to get married, you get phone calls, threat knife, and letters because some people still do not approve. And that comes from the "we're going to have to wait till they die" department. And in fact, we will have to wait for some of them to die. In Daytona Beach, police are investigating the killing of a man in women's clothing. They're investigating it, but they're refusing to call it a hate crime. Now, a fellow named Oscar, he's 34, he was shot in the head of the parking lot of a local restaurant Sunday morning, and he died in the hospital several hours later. Two men have been charged in connection with the killing. Police say that Cesar Valanzo, 18, shot Mosquita after Mosquita, quote, came on to him. Following his arrest, police say that Valanzo was approached by Mosquita, Q-E-D-A, it's not like a mosquito that flies, it's got a Q-E-D-A, in a restaurant which featured a Latino night. And Valanzo told the investigators he became angry because he's not gay when the guy came on to him. Whatever happened to no? No, I'm not into that. You have a nice day. No, I don't think so. That's not for me. I don't swing that way. What is this extermination, this annihilation, this unlimited and impenetrable depth of evil that all of this springs from? You know, GLBT people are not just killed. They're assassinated in the most brutal possible way. Multiple stab wounds, set on fire, acid poured on them, beaten until, you know, the majority of the bones in their bodies are broken. This comes from an inner rage. And yet the police are refusing to call this a hate crime because one guy was angry because he's not gay. Well, you know, I understand that. I mean, I'd be mad if I wasn't gay, too. I mean, you know, you're missing all the fun. Oh, geez, my regular listeners. No, I'm kidding. I'm sure the fundies are going to quote that as being, well, that's strictly confidential. He's recruiting. You know, I think one day I'll do a kiddie hour. Hi, kids. Welcome. to Strictly Confidential. Are you under 12? Do you like gladiators? You see, I'm past caring. The gay community pretty much is just past caring. We simply do not care anymore what you think. We are so over it. With your prejudice in a quarter, you can make a phone call. But other than that, we pretty much are not interested. And we'll do a couple more stories before the break. A story about guest houses, Christian guest houses over in England. Guest houses rent rooms to people who travel. It's a cottage industry over there. Pardon the pun, cottage industry, guest house, ha ha ha. And anyways, Muslim and Christian guest house owners are refusing to accept homosexual couples and are imposing a sleeping ban so that they'll let you stay, but you can't sleep in the same room. Oh, no, 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 you cannot do that in the same room in my house. However, all other guests, even unmarried heterosexual couples, well, they can do it all night long, but oh, no, 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 not in my house. There's a junior minister over there who's emphasized that it's illegal for married couples to share a room at a guest house while not allowing homosexuals to share the room in a public guest house. And he said if gays are turned away, that the only way a Christian or Muslim guest house owner can lawfully stay in business is that they offer single bedrooms to all guests, straight or gay. And Ms. Moe said a wedding photographer who refused a gay wedding booking should take up portrait photography instead, not wedding photography, and a chauffeur who declined to work with homosexuals needs to specialize in corporate travel, not private travel. Boy, this Ms. Munn's got it going on. She's telling it like it is. She's concerned about people whose strongly held, genuine religious beliefs are being forced to condone prejudice against homosexuals. To tell a guest house owner that they're offering a double bedroom to a same-sex couple, they have to offer single rooms, is to, in effect, to say they're just saying, we're not going to conform to whatever the laws are. This happens to be public accommodations we're talking about. I don't care if it is mom and pop owned. Yes, my friends, my conservative Christian and Muslim friends, you can still hate us from the pulpit. You can scream faggot as we walk by. But we are working physical discrimination of every kind, and that includes whether we sleep in the same bed. Do you get it? It's really not that complicated. Do you get it? You beginning to understand me? Oh, Lord, the Catholic Church is not going to cooperate with the same-sex campaign in Australia. About 500,000 young people are going to Sydney for a huge religious event, and the Catholic Church is saying, no condoms, we shall not discuss condoms, and this is a bad thing, it goes against the church. And so, the Catholic Church does a lot of good things, but all the other stuck-in-the-past organizations, they follow those. Oh, by the way, you remember our guest from Soul Force? We had a wonderful guest from Soul Force. When was it? It was last week. It was Tuesday, Wednesday last week. It's hard for me to figure it out. We have both of our guests from earlier are in our chat room. What wonderful! I encourage you to stop by strictlyconfidentialradio.com and click on chat room. You can register and come in and. And they're both with us. How wonderful. Susie and Linda. How fun is that? Remember our guest from Soul Force? Our Soul Force guest was talking about having gone to Salt Lake City and done the peaceful protest, I guess might be the right word, at the Church of the Latter-day Saints. And he said that even though the Latter-day Saints people will not say that Soul Force had anything to do with changing a policy, that they were in fact going to change a policy, and they feel they had a lot to do with it. Well, here's proof. This article just came out today. The Latter-day Church leaders have posted a new pamphlet on their website this week, answering questions often raised by church members regarding same-sex attractions and how to deal with it. Now, the new resource, it's being announced through a letter to the Latter-day Saints bishops, they're going to hopefully assure troubled church members of God's love despite challenges, and including what they're calling some related to same gender attractions. They're referring to us as same gender attractions. It's pretty generic. Information does not touch on scientific theories. Doesn't really even get into a spiritual perspective. They're just using this term same gender attraction rather than gay or homo to distinguish between a lifestyle choice and an attraction only. In other words, what they're saying is that some of the students there at the big university over there were concerned that they were violating campus rules even if they were just attracted to somebody. Not that they did anything, but that they were attracted to somebody. So this document is basically, by the way, this document they claim was 10 years in producing. You know, I can't imagine taking 10 years to figure this. But what they're saying is, it's okay, you can still remain in the church, and your family does not have to throw you out as garbage on the street if you're attracted, because in fact that is something that's controllable and you can do something about. And then it goes on to say, but if you do it, then you're still fair game, is my best analysis of this article. There are many words and many paragraphs and many omissions and many clouded statements, but the bottom line is you can look but don't touch, is the latest from the Latter-day Saints, and that took 10 years. And, I'm so impressed. I'm just so impressed. Tell you what, let's do. I have a couple of tracks. We have a requested track that I would like to run this evening. It was requested by a listener in Tucson, Roy Zimmerman. And he's got a MySpace page, and actually there's a website, too, for if you'll just Google Roy Zimmerman, Zimmerman, you'll find it. I don't have the link in front of me. In any case, he's done a comedy-slash-song combination there, thing. And it's really quite funny. It was requested by one of our listeners, and the track is called "Defenders of Marriage." Agnes, if you'd run "Defenders of Marriage" for us, please.
And you know, if you're two consenting adults, and which of us isn't? It's nobody's business who you love, right? Nobody's business who you love, where you love, what equipment you might use. It's interesting, but it's nobody's business. Actually, the equipment is somebody's business. And yet the traditional values people are all upset over homosexuality in the workplace, in the movies, in the Boy Scouts. And they should just realize that homosexuality in the Boy Scouts is a tradition. Get behind it. Every time we think about same-sex marriage, it makes us sick to our guts. I mean, to people who want to commit to a stable, monogamous, lifelong relationship, what are they, nuts? It's unnatural. Now a man should not lie with a person who is a guy. He should only lie to his wife. The Bible is clear. We're defenders of marriage in three-button suits. We'll raise our double standard and see who salutes. Defenders of marriage, defending the institution against people who want to get married. Every time we think about same-sex parents, oh my gosh, we exclaim. I mean, to people who want to provide a protective and nurturing family environment, have they no shame? So deviant. It's the Lord's holy word, as my second wife said to my third. That a family's based on obligation and fear. We're defenders of marriage, connubial narcs. Ever vigilant and patriotic patriarchs, defenders of marriage, defending the institution against people who want to get married. One summer evening when my woman was doing laundry, I shared a six-pack with an old John Bircher. And oh so wisely, he imparted an ancient quandary to ponderies in its nature versus legislature. Are people born gay, or do they turn gay just to piss off Dick Army? We're an army of dicks with a militant stance. Let's
get the government out of our lives and into our hands. Defenders of marriage, defending the institution against people who want to get married and have their insurance carried and be beneficiaried and be next to the ones they love when they are buried.
And there you have it by Roy Zimmerman, Defenders of Marriage. That was requested by one of our listeners in Tucson. And I've got to tell you, you just never know what's going to be requested on this program next. Everything from boot scooting country and western to, oh, I can't begin to tell you the different kind of music we've had requested on the show. It's always an adventure. Speaking of adventures, and we were talking about this earlier with Linda and Susie, the Fort Lauderdale issue. Right now, the tourism officials are sweating it out in Fort Lauderdale about Noggle's damage to the tourism community down there, the tourism business. It's an estimated that 950,000, just 50,000 short of 1 million gays visited Broward County last year in 1 year alone and spent over $1 billion, according to the Visitors Bureau. And it makes it a major part of the area's tourism-based economy, considering that 10.4 million people overall visited the and spent $8.8 billion. So $1 billion of that is from the gay community. And the gay market is also considered to be one of the most reliable. It was the first segment to recover and begin returning to Fort Lauderdale after the 2001 terrorist attacks. And one of the city folks there is crediting the gay community with helping fuel the development of upscale hotels in Broward County. Yes, in fact, my friends, some of us are rich. By and large, we're not. I don't want to pass on the stereotype. You know, they want you to think we're all rich and we control the government. Well, some of us are. I'm not one of them. In any case, 41% of the gay visitors to Fort Lauderdale stay in mainstream hotels, 29% in gay resorts, and the rest in a variety of lodging from motels to friends' homes, et cetera, et cetera. But all of them spend money. Now, you know, there's a couple of ways of looking at this. There's a huge financial pressure on the city council down there to do something about this nozzle guy. So, you know, I got to tell you, waiting for equal rights, I don't give a damn whether they fix it and begin getting straight here in Florida on the count of money or not. I'm tired of waiting. Waited all my life for it, and I don't want another generation to have to wait their lives for it either. So hell, I don't care if they. I would prefer it that people in Florida stood up and just did the right thing and included their GLBT brothers and sisters in equal rights legislation because it was the right thing to do, not because they're losing money. But I'm not proud. Hell, I'll take it if it's for money. I have an interesting letter that was written, Pam Spalding. It's a response to. It's an email. It's Dear Ms. Grossman. Grossman responded to a letter to Pam Spalding. Pam Spalding, we quote here often, she has Pam's house blend, which is listed on strictlyconfidentialradio.com. If you'd like to visit her site, she does a marvelous job with her pet. Pam is a. But she's saying, I read your email to Pam Spalding, editor and publisher of the gay and lesbian blog Pam's House Blend. In your email, you state, I wish to reassure you and your readers that Greater Fort Lauderdale is warmly recommending, or actually a warmly welcoming destination to all travelers, including the GLBT community. We stand united and proud that our destination has long been enjoyed by gay visitors and supported by the local gay community. And then the writer of this letter gets into it. The writer says, if Fort Lauderdale is such a truly great place and so accepting, why did Fort Lauderdale select a bigot like Nodule to lead this brouhaha in the first place? And the writer goes on to say, and speaking for the Sunshine State as a whole, why is Florida a leader in, one, denying GLBT parents the right to have custodianship of their children, two, not enforcing any authoritative property or power of attorney or medical proxy rights for GLBT people, for pushing the sanctity of marriage amendment at state and federal levels, for resisting hate crimes legislation, tolerating violence against GLBT citizens. Hey, we just did a story about that, didn't we? Gee whiz, the guy didn't like it because he wasn't gay, and so he shot the guy, and he died. All of these are coming to the attention of the national media. So, any case, this person is saying, so before I continue, let me take this opportunity on behalf of well-read, well-educated GLBT folks to thank you for your kind words, but she's saying that she is not going to spend her money in the state of Florida as long as this this political bias and law enforcement bias exists. I'm all for you. I think this writer has hit the nail on the head. It's a lot more than just an idiot mayor with an idiot toilet proposal who's been saying idiot remarks about the gay community for years and years and years. Bigger than that. Florida is a cesspool. Don't mind telling you that. And having grown up here, I think I can safely say that. Can't I? Production chat. I should have never looked at production chat. Somebody writes, Florida is the show me the boob state. Yeah, well, you know, what can I tell you? So anyway, Philadelphia, speaking of tourist dollars, Philadelphia has rolled out a national ad campaign. They did this a couple of years ago, aimed at gay tourists. Some of the commercials featured like same-sex couples and colonial costumes, and the caption is, come to Philadelphia, get your history straight and your nightlife gay. You gotta love that. Since then, the city has become more sophisticated in attracting gay folks. They are trying to attract part of the $55 billion, that's with a B, billion-dollar gay tourism market. They're now targeting subgroups within the GLBT community. For instance, lesbians with children, gay men with children, older gay men who don't have children and just looking for the finer, like, arts and, you know, museums, and for younger people, the nightlife and the clubs. You know, they're trying to target it more specifically. They're doing this because Philadelphia saw, are you sitting? Philadelphia saw a $153 return for every dollar spent in the marketing campaign. Is that amazing? So, yes, Florida, Philadelphia is hot on the trail to steal them gay folks from them. And I wish them well at doing it. Really do. These gay tourism campaigns, they're going to travel companies like Orbitz and Travelocity, American Airlines, Southwest. It's being... So, yes, it's huge. And to have a mayor like Noggle is an embarrassment. And by the way, I spoke with... I'm trying to get in touch with one of the folks from the Florida Democratic Caucus who has spoken out at some of those rallies down there for against Noggle to appear on the show here. I haven't had any luck in getting in contact with him yet, but I would like to have him on the show. And just briefly, as we get toward the end, tell you about this. A group of activists appeared in San Francisco in front of UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon. They were screaming about, that's the only way they could get anybody's attention, break the silence is what they're saying. Talk about gays. They're holding up signs that read, gay rights are universal, with the UN capitalized to underscore the fact that it's the UN. You see, the UN is one of the major monitors for... human rights of people around the world. So UN resolutions that fix some of these things. But they're refusing to mention gay people at all. You know, we have covered this many times about what's going in Iran with these traveling patrols that are shooting people in people in the head and in Iraq just because they're gay. We talked about Nepal with the police beating up the gay folks in the park. There are many other countries in just those two. Jamaica is hell on earth for any GLBT individual. It's another one I should throw in there. I haven't talked too much about that, but I will. But in any case, the UN is remaining completely silent on it. Execution of gay males or those who perceive to have same-sex relationships. Iran, Saudi Arabia, Nigeria, Uganda, Malaysia. There's no penalties for that. Crew-bashing mobs, death squads, but the UN is not saying a word. We no see. We no see. We no know. Nothing. We know nothing. Yes, that's the UN. Thank you so much for making us feel at home. And they think they have done something by giving GLBT people the permission to hand out pamphlets in the lobby. Give me a damn break. Well, as we close up the evening, I want to remind you, strictlyconfidentialradio.com, the site will give you links to all of our guests.